Here's Amin El-Hassan, ESPN NBA Insider. What's up, Amin?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Well, we've been talking about movies, and somehow we stumbled across Space Jam 2, and it sounds like it's in the running, and it's going to happen, and LeBron will play the role of Michael Jordan. And we were thinking, like, who is the modern-day actor that can play the role of Bill Murray, who played somewhat of a prominent role in the original? And Gord threw out Will Ferrell. I don't know if you're a Space Jam guy, but would you be okay with Will Ferrell and LeBron kind of running the show in Space Jam 2?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think the original was a terrible movie. it was basically made for marketing, right? Like, these people who think fondly about this thing is kind of ridiculous. It was made to market, to sell. They literally came up with the concept and the cast before they came up with a script. Having said all that, if you're going to pick somebody, Will Ferrell will be the guy, right? He's got that same kind of cachet. He's funny. He knows his hoops. That's the guy, I guess. Either him or the other guy thought of him as Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, he'd be a good one. Well, someone texting in, it's Kevin Hart, because Kevin Hart just does everything. Somehow Kevin Hart will work his way into this movie, because he's in every single movie.
You know what? He'll probably be in the movie, if they can afford him. That's the whole thing. He does everything that they can afford.
Didn't he try to get on the podium when the Eagles won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, he did. He got, like, the Heisman.
Yeah.
Like,
he was trying to get up there, wasn't he? Yeah.
Get out of here, man. That was a bad look for him, because you can't do that.
Oh, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't, because he said afterwards, guys, what can I say? I was drunk. He just admitted, he's like, I was drunk. I was drunk off my rear end, and I tried to do something that I probably shouldn't have done, and that's what happened. So, that's the magic of Kevin Hart, right? As long as you're self-deprecating, everyone just says, oh, shucks.
Valid. I mean, I think it was, he kind of got big-timed a little bit, where he probably thought he could just cruise onto the podium. But you're right. If you're drinking and you joke about it and you're self-deprecating, you can get away with it. With Amin El-Hassan of ESPN, we want to get into this Bruce Bowen, Kawhi Leonard, L.A. Clippers story, because obviously there's a connection up here in Toronto, and I'm quite curious to find out, and we won't know until it plays out, how the media in Toronto reacts to Kawhi and the courting of Kawhi and whether or not they feel obligated to play a role in it, because it appears as if, with Bruce Bowen being let go by the Clippers telecast, it sounds as if it's because he was somewhat critical of Kawhi, although I didn't think it really was critical at all. I thought it was just an honest opinion about how he thought Kawhi should have stuck around in San Antonio and maybe got bad advice. But what do you make of this story and the upcoming courtship of Kawhi Leonard?
Well, I think it, first and foremost, it's kind of murky, right? Because he wasn't let go. His contract is up, and they were trying to renew his contract, and then they decided not to renew his contract. So from the Clippers' standpoint, devil's advocate, they can say that the contract was not renewed for any number of reasons. He wanted too much money. They wanted to go in a different direction. They had someone else in mind. They can say a million things that have nothing to do with Kawhi Leonard as the reason why you did not renew the contract of an employee whose contract had expired, right? Now, the beyond that is the report that it was because of what he said was critical of Kawhi Leonard. Now, let's just assume that the report is correct. It's not someone trying to make sense of something that happened and putting two to do together, but there really is something going on there. If you're the Clippers, and if you indeed do this, really what it is saying, look, I'm not going to risk. There's no guarantee that Kawhi Leonard will be a Clipper. But he's made it pretty clear that L.A. is a destination where he'd love to be. And that leaves two teams, contrary to popular belief. Not just one. There are two teams in L.A. And so if you're the Clippers, you can't have a public-facing employee disparaging, not the player, that's not as bad as disparaging the people around him, and the people around him are his family. Remember, it's not just, hey, his agent, blah, blah, blah. It's specific people. It's his uncle. It's his mother. These are the people who are really hands-on in Kawhi's kind of management of his basketball business career. So when you hear an employee of yours disparage those people, that in many ways can be a lot more damaging than disparaging the player himself, because players are used to having people criticize them. Right, he's not good enough. He's not blowing up. But family members are not used to getting that kind of that flack. And so, if indeed that's what happened, and I think people are really jumping the gun to assume that's what happened, then there is a reasoning behind that.
So, I mean, let me ask you this: hypothetically, let's say that Clippers are playing the Raptors this year, and for whatever reason, Kawhi's having a bad run, or isn't playing with an injury or whatever. And the new Clippers analyst feels like Kawhi's dogging it. I guess he's not going to say anything. Like now, if you're in the running for Kawhi Leonard, you can't say anything about him that you disagree with. Is that?
Well, here's the thing. So this is what I say. First of all, this concept of quiet dogs is astonishing to me, right? That even it was a whisper this year that he was dogging it somehow. This is a man who, since he's come into this league, has shown nothing but elite work ethic, elite competitive nature, elite everything. When you talk about all the characteristics and qualities of a player that you want in your program, he's elite. He's the top 1% of 1% when you talk about all those things. He has a year where he's legitimately hurt, and you know, you could say, oh, but the medical people cleared him. Well, they've cleared him before, and he got hurt anyway because he wasn't quite cleared. That's one thing, but to question his character, because now I've become, if Kawhi's sitting out because he's got a nagging groin or whatever, oh, he's dogging it. That shouldn't be something that we leap to talk about Kawhi Leonard about. Okay. He's not Lance Stevenson or some other kind of guy like, oh, this guy, he's always got issues. He's been a quality citizen pretty much his entire career, and now because of basically what ended up being a smear job by the Spurs all year long, leaking stories, the most secretive organization in the NBA, all of a sudden we're getting updates every week about how Kawhi is not up to snuff. He's not doing what we want him to do, right? Because of that smear campaign, there's this weird thing now that's done. Now it's, let's all criticize Kawhi. And I've always, as a guy who worked in this league in the front office and had this conversation with many young players, we tell them all the time, your reputation is everything. Your reputation is everything. Because when things go, when the bleep hits the fan, people are going to look at you like, he's a good dude. He wouldn't do that. Or, yeah, he kind of gets into that kind of stuff. DeMarcus Cousins is a lovely human being, but he's dealt with a lot in his career because early on, he was a jerk. And so guess what? You don't get to shrug that off very easily, even as you prove over and over again after that you've grown and you've gotten more mature. But Kawhi Leonard, he deserved better than that.
Well, when it comes to Bruce Bowen, you know, I'm kind of with you in terms of my radar going off a little bit in terms of exactly what happened and why it happened, because I heard his comments and they did not seem to be overly outrageous or harsh. And he's Bruce Bowen. He's a Spurs legend. He's talking about the Spurs. He's going to have a connection to the Spurs. The Clippers are going to be aware of that. But when it comes to Kawhi, I mean, it's difficult to get a read on who he is and what he's all about. And you look at the situation up in Toronto, we've talked about it nonstop for a month. Trade was over a month ago. We haven't heard from him. We haven't seen him. He hasn't said anything. He issued a statement that didn't really feel as if it was written by him. Never mentioned Toronto. Never mentioned the Raptors. We've had guys on his station on this show who have said, yeah, I've come across him. I don't even know him. Haven't said a word to him. Don't know anything about him. I mean, I don't recall a trade like this, a blockbuster trade like this, without having any idea of who the guy is, what he thinks, ever happening before. Like, have you ever seen anything like this?
Well, not in the modern era. And by modern era, I mean social media era. I think about it, this is, you know, because I'm a selfish, self-centered kind of guy, I think about everything in terms of me, right? So people, I've heard people tell me, you're not a good parent. I said, well, why do you say that? So, well, because I've looked at your Twitter and your Instagram. You don't have any pictures of your kids anywhere. Well, yeah, because those are my kids. It's my private life. This is not for public consumption. This is something that I do, and the things that I do with my children and my family is for me. And then if I go out on my own and I have fun and I go, you know, all right, I'll put that out there because I feel like that's what I'm comfortable being public with. Kawhi Leonard is being punished, in essence, because he's not putting his life out on Instagram. Because he's not kind of the life of the party. That's not who he is. He's a very private guy. He has a very small circle of friends. I've talked to people in his circle. And guess what? He is talkative among people he knows, right? Michael C. Wright, who is a tremendous ESPN reporter, covers the Spurs. Says if you want to get quiet to start talking in the locker room, just give him kind of like say something about rap. Like say something like, oh, Drake's way better than Kendrick Lamar. And then all of a sudden you'll see Kawhi light up and start giving you reasons and become almost professorial and the amount of, you know, words that he's going to say and break down this thing, whatever. But it comes down to a comfort level with who he's dealing with. And especially, again, if you're Kawhi Leonard and you see what happened to you last year, you say, I've been nothing but quiet dude who's never done anything wrong, and they crucified me.
Right.
How can you ever trust anybody again after that? I mean, I kind of see why he feels the way he does right now. If he feels like if he comes out and says some stuff in Toronto, are they going to respect that? Are they going to respect him if he makes a decision a year from now that leads him away from that? Oh, you're better off basically not saying anything.
if he does think Drake's better than Kendrick Lamar, that bodes well for the Raptors.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Oh. As I understand it, no. He's from L.A. He's an L.A. guy, so there's right. no way he's going to do that.
Well, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I'm also talking about it from a professional standpoint. Like, you get paid a lot of money. The teams, it's probably they're not asking much out of you. Now, I get the impression like the Raptors are tiptoeing around him because I don't recall being in a situation like this since they've come into existence where they've made a deal and they haven't made a player available. But obviously, they didn't force him to do anything. But,
right.
you know, he's under contract, and that's kind of the way. It's not like he has to come out and say anything explosive or have hot takes or anything like that. But a meet and greet with a, hey, nice to be here, that probably wouldn't hurt him.
Well, a lot, but you got to understand, a meet and greet with him is going to be a lot of questions about, you know, people aren't going to ask, you know, again, the media's job is not to be friendly. The media's job is to get answers. And so if I'm local media in Toronto, obviously I'm going to have a lot of questions about what went wrong in San Antonio and things like that. Those are uncomfortable questions, and if he's uncomfortable answering them at this point, look, here's the reality, right? If you're the Raptors, man, this is the NBA, man. This guy's going to be a free agent in a year from now. You want to make life as comfortable for him as possible. You want everything to be kind of to his liking. Obviously, not to a detriment of the team and the team performance, but if it's something as simple as, I don't want to meet with the media. All right, then you got to meet with the media. Not until he signs an extension, and then in which case you're like, okay, now we got you for 5 years. Now we can start making some rules around here about things we want you to do, be more. Because now if he signs long-term, now you say you're the face of my franchise. You have to go talk. You don't have to talk at length. You don't have to talk interestingly, like you said. Don't have to be hot takes, but you got to talk because someone has to answer the music, and typically that is the best player, that's the franchise player.
Always appreciate you doing this for us. We'll do it again down the road. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Amir.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
There's Amin El-Hassan of ESPN.